All right, thanks for dropping by, Stephen. We saw each other yesterday at the meet and greet that the Chamber put on. And how do you feel that went?
The Chamber event was okay. There wasn't actually a lot of turnout. I found like Andrew and the Liberal just had 25 campaign people hanging around their booths. I got a lot of people coming in from long ways away, and the main thing, they were like, whoa, you got a lot of signs out there. So people were coming in from Rodney, West Lorne, and they picked up my signs yesterday. I had a guy from Lambeth come and pick up five, and they're getting them out for me. So I've been hosting events, hour event, because it's so, this district's so big, running around to everyone else, I just make events and everyone comes to me and we hang out, talk for a bit and have a good time.
Yeah. What are you hearing? What are you hearing from people?
Like I even talk to people randomly. Like I was up at Tim Hortons here, and like after we get done doing an event over there, I go to Tim Hortons and a guy tells me he's conservative, and I'm like, oh, that's awesome. There's no NDP guy running at this time. And I can probably take all those votes. And Chelsea Hillier built my following before me. So I have 7,000, 4,000 people already behind me. And if I just grow that base, I can take this district. And then he snaps off on me and talks about for 20 minutes how he's going to vote. He's on the Liberal side and he's voting for Liberal. And he's Carney, and Carney's an economics guy from Oxford. And all these guys, even at the thing we were at last night, what was it? The girl was snapping at me. She's like, I'm not voting for that bigot over there, Andrew Lawton. And I'm not going to vote for you. I don't know you, but I'm going to vote Liberal because we got to beat you. You're not going to get enough votes to beat the Liberals. So I have to vote Liberal. Like, well, I don't get the logic behind this. These are two bad parties. You have a good option with the PPC. We don't have a party whip. Those other people have party whips. They're controlled by their whip. They don't represent you. I don't have a whip, and I can represent you. And watch my other videos about the whip. We're not going to talk politics today.
The question I had, because we got familiar with you with the provincial election.
Yeah, my other party.
With none of the above party.
Yeah.
And then people were asking, okay, They obviously don't, as far as I know, they don't have candidates federally.
No, they're totally separate. And I like that because what you get into is identity politics. So you have PC Federal and you have PC Ontario. And people think they're the same thing, but they're not. But like if you go to Saskatchewan, Saskatchewan doesn't have that. They have a Saskatchewan party. Yeah. And that Saskatchewan party before COVID was almost going to be debt free. They were balancing the budgets. They were going to be debt-free. It was Scott Moe out there. And that's what we need today. We need something else. We need something like the Saskatchewan party here, or just a couple members of like myself. If I can get in the door, I can open the door for other parties like Christian Heritage. The veterans made a party just at COVID time, after COVID. There's an Ontario Freedom Party that's provincial. In London, Ontario, they were freedom before 10 years before the Freedom Party, and they have lawyers. Their parties are built on lawyers, real people, not like what's Andrew Lott, political science, that's always wanted to be a guy. Like, I don't want to be a guy. I'd rather be alone on a farm by myself than to run in politics. But I have worked in the corporate world, and I worked in Richmond Hill for several years for IBM, HP. I was their accountant. I wrote all the software for their demo software. So they sent it out to companies. It came back after 6 months. Then we would take the asset, then we would sell the asset, and it would go back. And I actually wrote all the software for all those companies.
Okay.
So IBM, Sun, Compaq, and HP merged. That kept me there another year. So I've been in the corporate world a long time as well, but I came back home because...
Well, you raised a good point, because the People's Party has some history here. Chelsea Hillier ran previously, and her dad, Randy Hillier, more so in Eastern Ontario, but has been in this area. What drew you to that party?
Well, the We'll talk NOTA for 2 seconds. NOTA does referendums. So you go out to the community and you poll the community to find out about the community. And what drew me into the PPC party, actually, I've been helping them on the back end for a long time, but I just didn't want to run. I don't like being in the public. So I like helping out on the back end of these organizations, but I keep on getting pulled to the front end when they don't have a candidate. So they had a candidate in place for the whole year here, and that guy dropped out a month ago. And since I just ran in Elgin, I'm the front runner because my face was out there for the party. And the backup candidate for me is Trevor Lee. And so Trevor Lee lives in Rodney. However, same thing. This person was running all year. I was supposed to be out there doing stuff for the PPC, and they dropped out a month ago too. So Trevor Lee is ended up going over to Chatham because he lives closer that way, so we can cover that district. So both Trevor Lee and myself have stepped up for the PPC.
Yeah.
So back to Chelsea now. Actually, your dad just won a court case. Yeah. Last week, he won a court case about the freedom movement. Have you heard it in the media much? I don't think so.
Yeah. Yeah, we've been following that a little bit.
Well, my FM does better reporting than the other media sources.
Yeah, we've been following that. In fact, we were just talking about that earlier this week. But what attracted you to the party?
So like NOTA, which is independent representatives, I'm actually independent because of the whip situation where our party doesn't have a whip that says like... let's say carbon tax. Let's say Elgin doesn't want the carbon tax, but my party says you must vote for the carbon tax. Well, we don't have a whip, so I don't have to follow that guy. So I can represent Elgin.
Yeah. And what do you see here in Elgin as key issues?
Carbon tax. Yeah. I'm losing $4,000 per year. If I kept that money in my pocket, I could build so many things at home, or I can invest that money. I could compound that. So if 4 years of Liberal, that's $4,000, $12,000. If I had that in my investment portfolio, I'd have $30,000 right now. You guys are whining and begging for dental care that they don't provide the whole dental care, because the Dental Care Act is this. All dentists abide by it, and they don't provide enough money. So then when you go to the dentist, you actually have to pay money out of pocket still. So like they're pretending they're doing dental, but they're not. But if you just got your money back and you put in an investment portfolio, you would have $30,000. You can afford your own dental. Why are you begging the government?
Now, when you say carbon tax, are you talking industrial?
Both.
Because it's off at the pumps now.
Yeah, it's off on the consumer only.
Yeah.
But Mark Carney and them, you read into their reports and what they're doing over in Europe, they want to follow the Europe standard, and they're going to bump up the industry. What's going to hurt the industry? Then you're going to lose your jobs.
Or is that if it's passed off to industry, they will in turn pass it off onto the consumer?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking. They're going to pass it off to your consumer because you got to truck your goods. You got to truck your farm animals to market, and then you have like it's just a snowball effect. They're just moving it from one spot to the other to try and hide it from you.
Yeah. What else do you see here? Because this is a big ag-based community.
Yeah, yeah.
We have the urban centers, but a big chunk of what goes on in this riding is ag-based.
Yeah, yeah. So like a big problem. It was up in the provincial as well. Your hog markets are in the U.S. And that Hamilton plant where you get harassed all the time and your truck lineups and you can't get your meat to market. And then if we get into a war over on the state side there and you can't get your pork across, you got nowhere to take it. And then you're losing money in your barns and you're eating the cost. You're going to lose your shirt as a farmer if you vote for those other parties.
Now, what do you see the People's Party doing? How would they address that situation?
I honestly would like to see that the federal government, there's actually a loans book. It's about, it's this thick. I actually owned one back in the day looking for a loan for one of my, I've got about a lot of things, companies that I run. And I actually won. I couldn't find any loans or anything to start up a business when I was starting out. I had a tanning salon. I have a clothing line that I actually have on right now. Run baseball teams. I run a tractor festival. I run a, what else? The league websites. So we got a ton of stuff to talk about today.
What now? You talked about the farm. Do you farm yourself?
No. Well, yeah. My parents farm. They're selling out this year. We're segregating off the land. I own all their farm equipment. So some of my videos there, you can see the corn head of the guy you stole his land from, Philip Reed.
Yeah. Okay. Now, whereabouts was the farm located?
Their farm's in Middlesex on Old Drive.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you're not...
I don't live on their farm.
No, but you're not involved in farming anymore?
I own all the equipment. We did cash crop up this year. We rented out for $400 an acre to a pea guy, and we did really well on the peas last year.
Yeah.
Our neighbor's going to buy us out, so we still have our forest, and we get to enjoy the property. We got 7 acres still with all the barns. We had to fight a year and a half to keep the barns. They wanted to tear down the best barn we had, so we had to took that long to fight to keep the best barn we had. They wanted to tear us down, and then after we get the property, build another barn. We have a state-of-the-art barn here.
And who's
Middlesex County.
Now, why would they want to do that?
That's what they're doing all over. So, like Ted McCracken over by Melbourne, too, they sold off to another McCracken family. They were forced to tear down the big barn. They didn't fight it. So if you don't fight it, you don't keep it. So
yeah.
We had to pull up. There was a Kivel property by a graveyard. They kept 6.6 acres. Dave McEachran on Old Drive as well severed off their land. And I think they got $200,000 an acre. They sold off all their land. He has a... farm collection, John Deere. He has a museum there now, so you might want to check out his collection sometime.
Now, are they requesting the land or taking the land for development, residential development?
For what?
For Middlesex.
No, we're just farmers segregating off the land to keep your house, and then you sell off the rest of your land. But
okay.
I don't really agree with that either. I think the land, even the farmland after, I think it should be in a 5-acre parcel or a 10-acre parcel, and it should be a hobby farm. It shouldn't be turned into residential. I like small farming, and I think even though you don't have the rest of the land, if you had 10 acres, you could still have a little bit of dairy or a little bit of beef or some sheep in the field. It shouldn't be turned into residential.
Okay. Now, and that's a big problem in this area. Now, a lot of the parties and candidates are running on the whole situation with tariffs and that. Do you think that's legitimate, Trump and the tariffs?
Nope, not at all.
Yeah.
That's 25%. If you negotiated with them, because we are a close trading partner, if you could get it down to 10, because you want to keep that relationship there. Trump wants to put a 25% tariff, and that's the magic number. He doesn't want his people to pay income tax anymore. And 25% is a reasonable amount to tax the people so that they can live tax-free. So that's his goal. So the other countries are up in arms like, oh, we can't get your goods into the country. But that's not his goal. He doesn't care about the other country. He cares about his country.
Yeah. But if the prices go up by 25%, wouldn't that be just like a tax?
Well, you could just eliminate the industrial carbon tax, which is almost at 25%. So it would equal out. And honestly, the industries wouldn't feel it at all. And also our dollar's so low. It's at $1.40 right now, so 70 cents. Our work labor is cheaper to have our manufacturer here still. So cheaper labor in Canada. And, it should go up if we had a good government that could balance a budget. But we don't have a government that can balance a budget. And we actually have that proposed with the PPC. Maxime Bernier has a balanced budget.
Okay. Now, how is he achieving that?
I didn't look into it too much because all the rhetoric with I don't see us taking majority control. So because they won't let Maxime Bernier in a leaders debate. They won't let the libertarian leader of Canada, Jacques Boyer, who lives in Sarnia now. He used to live in London, Ontario for 16 years. With my 22 movement, I did a we're out in the cold, minus 22 degree weather during COVID there, and we did a debate with New Blue, Ontario Party, none of the above, and we each had a different subject matter. And libertarian leader Jacques, he's far right. You think far right, and people label far right. He actually, he believes you should have your own land. That's far right. And then he actually thinks like gay people should be left alone. And whatever you do in the sanctity of your own home, you should be able to do. But when you see all those news outlets, they're labeling far right people as bigots. And we're not, or I'm not far right anyways, but I'm not right or left. I feel I'm center aligned.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't feel the People's Party is far right?
No.
Okay.
We're just getting that label,
yeah,
by the media.
Yeah. We had talked outside about your community involvement. Let's talk briefly about some of the things you're involved in the community.
Yeah, yeah. What do you want to start with first? Maybe some men's fastball?
Well, baseball.
Yeah.
Fastball.
So there used to be two leagues around here, the St. Thomas League, and then there used to be the South Middlesex Fastball League. The St. Thomas League dwindled down to five teams. So you used to have Springfield, Glanworth, Belmont, St. Thomas. St. Thomas has now moved to Fingal. So that league dwindled down. There was a Shedden team, Glencoe, Elvingston. So that was the elite league. And then there was a league where it was more of a development league, was a Middlesex Men's Fastball League, which I actually run their website, do all their scores, social media stuff for them. It's all on Twitter. We don't do anything else but Twitter and Twitter scores. So I also run the Delaware Highlanders in that league. And well, my brother and I started it. But he's stepped aside recently in recent years. And I've been running it since. We bring young gut ball players in and develop people. I also, those major ISC teams, I house the Dominican national team pitcher. He only speaks Spanish. We use Google Translate to speak to one another. I go down to Dominican and train with them at their Olympic stadium sometimes. And he's taken me up into the hills and private villas. And so you treat people well, they treat you well.
Yep. Now, you're also involved with a tractor show.
Yeah, yeah. So my buddy Cody Wolf loves toy shows. There's going to be one in Hensel April 27th, so I won't be campaigning that day. But it's a blackout period in that people don't know about blackout periods anyways, and you're not allowed to actually advertise or do stuff that day. So I'll be up in Hensel with the farm toy show in my clothing line up there. So I get old decals of tractors, take the pictures, I develop them. So I've got Cuckshut, International, Oliver. I've got some nice Canada jerseys. I make the PPC jerseys for the riding here. So that's my other company, Old Drive Design.
Yep, yep. Now, when you were talking to people yesterday at the all members or all candidates meeting, what sorts of things were they asking? What are they looking at from you?
It was so many. Each person is unique and they're looking for something. I don't know if they even know what they're looking for yet. But I keep on telling them that the other parties can't, even if you have a good rep for that other party, they can't do what they want to do, because usually the party whip makes them do something else. So they're not representing the people. And that's why I'm with the People's Party, because we can represent the people.
Yeah. Yeah. And Do you get the sense that, that they're frustrated and that you might be an alternative for them?
Well, no. Well, they seem frustrated and they get tied up in that leader stuff, but you're not voting a leader. They think they're voting Mark Carney, or they think they're voting Pierre Poilievre. And half the time they like see the PP on our thing and they think we're Pierre Poilievre. Like, we're the People's Party. That's our PP. It's not Pierre Mouth Poilievre.
Yeah.
Mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart.
Now, as we get into the last couple of weeks here before the election, what I know it's such a big riding, you can't do a whole lot of door knocking, but what's the strategy going into these last couple of weeks?
Actually, once the debate circuit ends, I'm going to do a tour. You can't cancel all of us tour. So I'm going to go town to town. I'm going to meet with all the people that I've met. So we're going to hit Elmer, Shedden, Rodney, and maybe another town. So I'm not sure what town yet.
Okay. And that'll the debates are next week.
Yeah.
And then so you're going to pick that up after that point.
Yeah. I just can't. I have to concentrate on the debates and speaking. I can't run around all the time. You got to focus on one thing at a time.